Well, we call this Sunday school, and today it's going to be a little more like school. I hope you're not bored by it, but I think it's important, and I call it the general scope of the Bible. I'm not going to get into all the details of dispensations, but I'd like to talk about them slightly, and then we'll get into more of the dispensation of the law. General scope of the Bible. What is a dispensation? Pastor's already talked about it, and I'm not going to get into all the little details of it, like I just said, because Pastor's already taught it. But can somebody tell me, what is a dispensation? Like, give me a sentence that explains a dispensation. Does anybody remember?
A category along a timeline.
Right. Yes. It's in there. Anybody else? I guess I would say it's a period of time in which God deals with man in a particular way, in a special way. Dispensation is a period of time, and biblically speaking, a period of time in which God deals with man in a particular way. So you have these little charts I gave you. I hope they're helpful. The first one with this timeline on it, it's got the Lamb and the Tower of Babel and the cross and a crown on it. These are the dispensations, and it has some dates. You see the dates on there? And those are approximate, mostly. It's not an exact science. Dating isn't an exact science. But these are pretty close, I think, based on what we can know. Chronology. How do we find out? How do we know the dates in Scripture? Well, let's see. Let me get a little organized here. First of all, there's a lot of problems with trying to date things in Scripture because we use different calendars now than they used back then. Many events were dated in relation to the reign of a particular king or dynasty. And so you have to figure out, well, when was the dynasty? And the Hebrew calendar was lunar. And it comprised of 29 or 30 days each. So every so often they had to add another month in. And many events in Scripture overlapped, and it's particularly true of the Judges. If you read Judges and you add up all the dates, you get, I think, about 480 years, which we'll look at later. It's impossible for there to be 480 years in there. So as you look at the Scripture, you can see that many of them overlapped. Many of the Judges, they were judges at the same time in different parts of Israel. So there's another issue with dating. And many kings, both Jewish and Gentile, reigned at the same time as their fathers, like Uzziah and Jotham. There was kind of an overlap. They both reigned at the same time, both father and son. So it makes it a little difficult. But all that being said, there are two verses that help us tremendously understand some dating in Scripture. And the first one is 1 Kings 6:1. 1 Kings 6:1. These help us date events from the time of Abraham through Solomon's reign. Abraham to Solomon's reign. And so the 1 Kings 6:1, if you'd like, turn there. 1 Kings chapter 6, and we'll look at verse 1. Key verses. We're talking about chronology. How do we know the dates of things? And that'll be important in a little bit. I think it's helpful, anyhow. So you're in 1 Kings chapter 6. Look at verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass in the 480th year, after the children of Israel were come out of the land of Egypt, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, in the month Ziph, which is the second month, that he began to build the house of the Lord." Okay. So that's really important. It tells us that from the fourth year of Solomon's reign, when he began the temple, it was 480 years to the Exodus. The Exodus. Okay. Well, here's some core. And also, let me. Before I say the next one, let's the correlating events recorded in Bible. Correlating events recorded in the Bible and also secular history give us a firm date that Solomon, in the fourth year of his reign, was 966. And we can both use secular history and we can use correlating events in the Bible and see, these happen at the same time. So 966 is firmly set that was the fourth year of Solomon's reign. And if we do the math, we can subtract, or I guess it's add, 480 years. And we get 1446. And that's important. 1446, in college, they had three dates we need to remember. You need to remember 966, 1446, and also 586. And I think all Christians should remember those. 586 was the Babylonian captivity. They came the last time and took everybody away. Three very important dates. 966, or excuse me, 1446. Now, something else that helps us, another verse, turn to Exodus chapter 12. This is the second verse that helps us understand some of the dates from Abraham to Solomon, to Solomon's reign. Exodus 12, verse 40 and 41. It says here, "Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt." Okay. So we see 430 years. So we know that the Exodus is at 1446, and we know that the Israel, how long were they in the wilderness? After they exited Egypt, how long were the children of Israel in the wilderness before they entered the land? Anybody remember? 40 years, right. So 1446, let's subtract 40, we get 1406 is the entrance into the land. Now, going back to the other side, we know Solomon began his reign in 970. And who was the king before Solomon? David. How long did David reign? 40 years. So we can subtract, and we can find when David began to reign, in 1010 B.C. Now, who was the king before David? Saul. How long did he reign? We're not as familiar, but 40 years. He reigned 40 years as well. We can subtract, and he began his reign in 1050. 1050. So we have Saul's reign at 1050. We have them entering the land at 1406. And those dates we can pretty well know based on Scripture and how it correlates with secular history. And so what's in between those times? What happens after they entered the land? What's the next thing that happens? Moses dies, and who's the next leader? Joshua. They have the conquest. So they enter the land, and there's not very good dates for that. We know it was at least 7 years by what Caleb said, but we don't really know. And then you have the time of the judges, but we know where it ends because Solomon is made king at 1050. So we can take that, and you can take the dates, and you say, well, the conquest and the time of the judges was about this long because 1406, and you have 1050 on the other end, so it has to be in the middle there. And for our purposes, you'll see now I got to look at which one it is. We'll look later, but I have an approximate date, but we don't know how long Joshua was the leader of Israel. I have 16 years there, but we don't really know. Anyhow, so some dates. 1010, 970, 966, we talked about that. So I wanted to give you, I know that's a little deep and a lot of information, and I don't know if we'll all remember it, but, for instance, I think a good commentary is not one who's necessarily just right. He may be right in everything he says, and that's good. I like a good commentary or a good resource that tells me how they came to the conclusion they came to, because then I can go and check it out and say, okay, yeah, that's great. Or, I don't know, that seems a little mysterious. How did you come to that conclusion based on this? And so I would like to, because it's Sunday school and we can, I want to give you some of the reasons why I have what I have here for the dates. And again, it may not be exactly 100% accurate, but they're approximate. So I'm qualifying that. Okay, so let's look at the dispensations. You have your little chart here with the lamb on it and the lines going horizontal. And the first one you see is the dispensation of innocence. Now, the time frame, when did the dispensation of innocence begin? When? Well, we don't really know when it began, but what event? From creation, right? Creation, and where did it end? The fall, right. So from creation to the fall, the time of innocence, we don't really have any idea how long that was. Scripture doesn't say. They could have been there for thousands of years. They could have been there for 100 years. We don't know. But we have that. And how long was it? We don't know. The next one you see is conscience. And when did conscience begin? The dispensation of conscience. Remember? After the fall, that's the starting point. When did it end? What happened? You remember there was all these people, what's his name, Methuselah, and all these guys, and you come to this last fella, his name's Noah, and the flood, right. So conscience begins at the fall and ends at the flood. And how many years? Well, I have, if you look at the back of your the back of this same page, it has a little more information. And on the back side, if you look at number 2, conscience, I have for years 1,630 years, give or take some. I came to that conclusion. I added up the lives of the genealogy in Genesis, and I subtracted the overlapping time of their fathers, and that's where I came with that number. So about that long, which is pretty long. The scriptural scope. Did I say the scriptural scope? For innocence, the scriptural scope, I call it, is from Genesis 1:26 to Genesis 3:6. So God gives 2 chapters for the first dispensation. In the next dispensation, the scriptural scope, conscience, is Genesis 3:7 to Genesis 8:14. This is the second longest dispensation, and God gives 5 chapters to it, to the second largest dispensation. So we have the flood. So the next one is number 3, human government. When does that begin? After the flood. And when does it end? Ends with Abraham, right? And the time frame, that was the time frame, the scriptural scope. He begins in Genesis 8:15, and it goes to Genesis 11:32. And if you do the math, you have about 344 years. That's figured from the start date, the start date is figured from the Genesis genealogy, and then the end date is figured from Abraham. Abraham, the Bible tells us that Abraham, God spoke to Abraham, and Abraham followed God when he was 75 years old. And we know, based on the other genealogy, working back from Solomon to the Exodus in 1446, we have Isaac and Jacob and all of their years, and we can figure out the time of Abraham's birth in 2166. And then we subtract 75 years, and so that's where this number comes from, 344 years for human government. Called it human government because that's when God told Noah, if man sheds blood, by man shall his blood be shed. And that was the time frame where God dealt with man in a particular way. And we call it human government because God gave man authority as human government to punish evil. The next one is the promise. And when did that begin? With Abraham. And when did it end? At Mount Sinai, right. And we have Abraham, his year fixed, as I said before. And we know Mount Sinai happened the same year of the Exodus, or thereabouts, very close. He said when they left, Nisan would be the first year to you. And they left out, 1446. And in that same year, they ended up, I believe, at Mount Sinai. The scriptural scope for promise is Genesis 12:1 through Exodus 9:8, and also I throw Job in there because of internal evidence. It seems that Job was alive and lived during the time of Abraham. He lived over in Ur Uz, and so I put Job in there too. And the years, 580 years to the Exodus. The next dispensation is the law. What's the time frame? Where does it begin? After Mount Sinai, once they have the law, and then where does it end? at Pentecost. Pentecost is 50 days after the Passover. When Jesus died on the cross, the disciples were in the upper room. On the day of Pentecost, the church began. And as we look back, you can say, well, the Gospels, isn't that? It's different. The Gospels is a transition time, but technically it's still in a different dispensation than the dispensation we're in right now. And then the law. The scriptural scope was Exodus 19:9 all the way to Acts 1:26. Again, with the Gospels kind of being a transitional time. And that's excluding Job as well. And this gives us the third longest dispensation of about 1,483 years. And that date is based off of the death of Christ being 37 A.D. Because as people have studied it out, secular history, as well as other things, they say that they got their dating off about 4 years. Christ didn't die A.D. 33, but it was more based on Herod's reign. And so you get a date about 37 A.D. But it's close. If it's not accurate, it's close for sure. 37 A.D., it gives you about 1,483 years. What's the next dispensation after the law? The church, that's right. The time frame, it begins at Pentecost, and when does it end? It ends at the rapture, right, the carrying away, the caught up together. The scope, the scriptural scope, is from Acts 2:1 to Revelation 4:1. I say Revelation 4:1 is because when John was talking to Jesus, Jesus was that image, the shining one with the brass and all of that. He talked about the churches, and then he heard a trumpet calling him up to heaven, and that's interpreted as the rapture in Revelation. So I have it to that point. The church isn't mentioned after that. As the church. And then the next one, again, some people call this a dispensation, some people don't. I don't think I would call it a dispensation, I'd call it a judgment, but I have it here because it's significant. We have the tribulation period. And the time frame is from the rapture to the kingdom, and we know it's 7 years. The scriptural scope, if we look in scripture, we'll find it at Revelation 4:2, and it ends at Revelation 19:21. The kingdom. The kingdom begins after that. The time frame is 1,000 years. The scriptural scope, if we look at the Bible, we want to find where it talks about the kingdom. I mean, there's other places, obviously, but Revelation 20 through 22. And the years are 1,000 years, as given in scripture. So there's that. The general scope of the Bible. So I'm hoping that this will help us. I know we've heard this before, but it's helpful for me to have a broad view, first of all, before I go in a little closer. And I'd like to go in a little closer now. I'd like to focus on the dispensation of the law. God gives most of the scripture is the dispensation of the law. It comes from that time period, then the New Testament. But most of it is in the dispensation of the law, and I think it's important for us to understand it. But I won't go in all the details of the dispensation itself, but I'd like to look at the books, where things fall in place. And if we look at your other sheet, let me explain it a little bit. On the front side here, you have your arrows pointing different directions. And I have these blue arrows. These are more narrative books. That's why I put them there. And I put the other books kind of under them because they took place at the same time. Like 1 Samuel and 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, they're all narrative books. 1 and 2 Chronicles would go in there too. I didn't put it in there, but it's on the back side because it mirrors pretty well these. And then the brown ones are books that are written during this time period, at least mostly, like Psalms. Most of the Psalms, not all of them. Moses wrote a psalm, and there's other psalms from different people, but David wrote at least 70 of them and others during this time period, Asaph. So we have that written during 1 and 2 Samuel, probably. And then Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon, most of which were written by Solomon. There were a couple Proverbs not written by Solomon. And then the next arrow, you see the pre-exile prophets. And then you see over on the next side a big, long list of prophets. And I've put them in there as best as I can in order, although some of them we don't know. We don't know when they were written or when they lived. But anyhow, I'd like to go through them, because when you read in Scripture, it's not laid out in chronological order. You read Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth. Okay, that's pretty chronological. Then you have Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, and they're all the way on the other side of the kings. And so we'll look at that. So the pre-entry, if you are on the back side, it has a little more information. I'll be talking about the back side. The focus on the law, pre-entry, conquest. I hope you can read it. But the time frame, the law began with Moses on Mount Sinai, and the pre-entry and the conquest, I kind of lumped them together. It's from Moses to Joshua's generation. You read Judges, and it says that the children of Israel obeyed. They followed the Lord until the generation of Joshua died, and then they did wickedly. And then God rose up some judges. But the dates for this is 1446, which we established before, based on Solomon's, those two verses, Solomon's fourth year, beginning the temple, and 480 years back, and the 430 years that it mentions. And also, the end date, 1390. Again, we added 1406, they entered the land, and then I have a little parentheses, it's approximate, we don't know, but I put 16 years in. That's what a book of mine, he said, we don't know, but he figured 16 years, and that's what he had on his things. So I put that in there, but we don't know. And the books, what books are in this time period? If you want to read about the pre-entry and the conquest, what books should you read? Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and Joshua. They are all written in that time period. And it was about 56 years, approximately. We don't know, again. The next section of the law, we could say, is the judges. The time frame was from Othniel, the first judge, all the way to Samuel. Samuel, and he was the last judge. Again, approximately 1390 to 1050. And that date's pretty settled because that was when Saul began to reign. That's about 340 years, approximately. The books, if you want to read about the judges, what books should you read? You could read Judges, obviously. Ruth was written during that time. They lived in that time of the judges. And also 1 Samuel, chapter 1, verse 1 to chapter 8, verse 3. That's all the judges' time period. And then number 3, you see kings. And the time frame here is from Saul, the first king, to I have Jehoiakim. There was another king, Zedekiah, I believe was his name, and some puppet kings kind of placed there. But the dates for it was Saul, 1050 BC to 586. Now, I didn't break it up. There was a division at 930, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, and the Assyrians came in 722 and took the northern kingdom, and then Babylon came and took the southern in 586. And that's the date. God continues to deal with Judah afterwards. And 586 is where I'm calling the end of it, but you could separate it. But for our purposes, I just lumped it together. And that's about 464 years. The books, if you want to read about the kings, well, what books should we read? Well, there's 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. Again, those are more narrative books. And then we have all the prophets, and you can see the front side for that, the prophets. Let's see. So the Psalms, the Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon as well. I should have included that. But Obadiah. I just briefly give you the reasons why I have what I have on here. Obadiah, it's unknown. Nobody really knows when Obadiah was written. And there's basically two schools of thought on it. Some people say it was 480 in the days of Ahab. Excuse me, 480 is not correct. 840, had it wrong in my notes. I believe that's correct. 840, the days of Ahab, where it talks about judgment against Edom, because the book is about judgment against Edom. And so there's one possibility, and other people say 586, because that was another time when God spoke against Edom, for helping with the enemy of Israel. So there's two reasons, but nobody knows. Joel, it's unknown. Based on internal evidence, people put it earlier, and they put it in between Obadiah and Jonah and Amos and these here, but it's really unknown. Jonah, nobody knows, a lot of conjecture. When was it written? But it talks about the Assyrians repenting, so it definitely wasn't later, because they weren't very nice later on, and God spoke against them, as you look in some of the other minor prophets, that he would destroy them. But here in Jonah, they repented, and Jonah was upset. So this probably happened earlier on, so we have it earlier in the list. The next one is Amos. He prophesied from Uzziah to Jeroboam, Uzziah and Jeroboam. I think that's southern and northern, and it just states it, so it makes it easy. Isaiah, Uzziah to Hezekiah, he states it in his book. Hosea, again, is Uzziah to Hezekiah. You see, there's many prophets that prophesied at the same time here. There's three here. And then we have Micah. It was from Jotham to Hezekiah, which is after Jotham kind of co-reigned, I believe, with Uzziah there, his son. And Micah prophesied a little later, but that's stated in Scripture, from Jotham to Hezekiah. Nahum, I have here on the list Manasseh or Josiah. And the reason here is this is against Assyria. The prophecy is against Assyria. And it was written before Assyria's demise, which was in 612 by Babylon. And it seems to indicate that perhaps it was written while Assyria was strong, which would have been before the death of Ashurbanipal in 627. That's another evidence. But also, it was written after the destruction of Thebes, which in the scripture here, it's N-O, but that was the capital of Egypt at the time. And that was in, because it talks about Egypt being destroyed and the city being destroyed, and that Assyria, you know, do you think you're better than these people? And they're going to be destroyed just like they were. So that happened in 663. So you can say the book had to be written most likely between 663 B.C. and 627 B.C. And Manasseh and Josiah reigned in those time periods. First Manasseh, then Josiah. And that's towards the end. That's almost at the end. God didn't give judgment to Josiah because he was a good king and he repented. But later on, after him, Jehoiakim and all of those, that was very close to the end. And Babylon was becoming great, and they would destroy the Assyrians. And that's Nahum. Zephaniah, he prophesied during the reign of Josiah. That's stated. Habakkuk, he prophesied during the reign of Josiah or Jehoiakim. The reason I have that is because it speaks of the invasion of Babylon, and also it speaks of the sins of the people at that time. Again, not necessarily dogmatic statements, you could say it was during this time. And then Jeremiah, it's stated he prophesied from Josiah to the carrying away, he says, and Lamentations was written by Jeremiah as well. And so that's the time of the kings. There's a lot of information in there. I'm just kind of going over it. But it helps me to understand, you know, oh, these guys were alive at the same time. You know, you have Amos over in the minor prophets, but really, he was on the other side. He wasn't in the exile or even post-exile. It was the pre-exile, before they were exiled. The next section in the time of the law would be the exile. And the time frame, if you look on the back, it's Daniel to Ezra. Daniel to Ezra, I say. Right around that time. There's overlap, so it's kind of hard to get the right date. But 586 is when they were carried away. God said they'd be captive for 70 years. Again, they came back several times, but God said 70 years is officially when the captivity is over. And that would put you at 516. The books of the Bible that talk about or that were written during the exile would be Daniel. And if you look at the front, that's why I have Daniel in the blue, because he has a lot of narrative in his. It's not all narrative, but more narrative of what happened. And then you have Ezekiel there as well. And he wrote during the exile. The dates there for Ezekiel are pretty easy to find because he makes it clear in the fifth year of the reign of the king, and I think it was to the 27th year. The dates are 592 to 527 B.C. Yes, he was carried away the first captivity, not the second one. So he was already there before 586. And then we have the post-exile, the next one. And before Ezra, you had Zerubbabel. He came back in the first year of King Cyrus when he made his decree to come back. But then you had Ezra came along a little later, and he came back to instruct the people in the law because the people were ignorant and the people were apathetic. And he found that to be true. And he tried to instruct them in the law, Ezra did. And then you have the time frame is Ezra to the cross, I say, to the end. The dates would be 516 to 37 A.D. And the books of the Bible would be Ezra, Nehemiah. Again, he's a chronological more book. And then Haggai. Haggai was the second year of Darius the Great. And Zechariah, the same second year to the fourth year of Darius the Great. The temple was completed in those years. And then you have Esther. Esther, she comes all the way down towards the end of the Old Testament here. In the first to the 12th year of Xerxes the First. Some people say it was Artaxerxes, which is the next king. But I think most people would say, and I think the evidence would point, that it was Xerxes the First. But anyhow, it's not far off. It's right in this reign. Esther, all the way down here. King Ahasuerus, as it's called. And then the last book of the Old Testament would be Malachi. And it's written most likely between 450 B.C. and 400 B.C. And the reasons we say is because the content of the book coincides with the issues found in Nehemiah's day and Ezra's day, too. The same, you can read, and we list it out because we're studying Malachi in youth group, but you can look at the issues, and you can point them all back, and yes, they all had the same issues. And so it was written around the same time. I mean, probably not at the same time, but around the same time. So the content of the book, it mentions governor in there, so as the ruler, and that was the form of rule in the exile, or the post-exile time. The Assyrian king said, you can have a governor. Remember, Nehemiah was a governor, and they had other governors. There's another reason. And anyhow, so Malachi, when it was written, is roughly in those dates, perhaps. And I also have, I don't have it on here, but Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're technically, the dispensation is the law. It's different. But I think it's important to note, it's not just the New Testament. You can't just interpret everything like, oh, this is the New Testament and everything's for us. But Jesus went to the Jews, and it was still that the dispensation of the law, even in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, as they recorded those things. So there are those things. Are there any questions about these things? I know this isn't normal, I guess, for a Sunday school or any message. A lot of information. And I'm not expecting you to absorb it all and have it memorized. But I think that hopefully, if you can read these, that these will be helpful to you. To me, it's helpful. I look it up, and it's helpful for me to understand, when did this happen? And who was alive at this time? And what was the condition of Israel? And what were they thinking? And who was the king? And who was the governor? What's going on? And so maybe these will help as you read, you look at the Old Testament, you look at the minor prophets, and you can look at your chart, and you can say, well, Joel, when was that? Because he's a minor prophet. I think of those as post-exile, but he wasn't. He was probably before, and Amos and Isaiah and all of those folks. So it's kind of helpful to me. I hope it's helpful to you. And perhaps next time we'll go into a little deeper, maybe into some of the books, just give an overview of some of those things. Any questions? Any thoughts? Let me see what we have here. 10:17. Good. Very good. Well, let's pray, and we'll ask the Lord's blessing on the rest of today, and let's do that. Dear Lord, thank you for your word, and I know that sometimes studying your word isn't always a touchy-feely experience. Sometimes there's some other things that are very helpful to us, but help us, Lord, not to shy away from increasing in knowledge, Lord, as we need the knowledge of your word. and knowledge about your word. And I pray today that you'd bless the rest of the service as we sing to praise you with our whole hearts and to give thanks, and help us as we hear your word. And I pray for Pastor and all that takes place. May you be glorified. And we thank you and pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.